Now I'd like to talk about Gideon this morning. Remember Gideon? In the Bible? He's in the 7th chapter of the book of Judges. It's quite a long story. I don't propose to read all of it to you. Really, I want to talk about the last of the story where the final conflict with the Midianites took place. Gideon's an important man. Gideon got his name mentioned again over in Hebrews among the heroes of the faith. The purpose of my little thought this morning is to try to bolster your faith and mine. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a believer in the God of the Bible and have staked my life on it all being true. And in the times when eternity has been very near to me, it wouldn't have taken very much to be on the other side. It got real serious to me whether or not it's all true. But it will be that way at some point for every one of us. I believe it is true. Like to give you something more along with all the other things you have by the Lord's help to anchor your faith on. The story is that the nation of Israel had come under the domination of the Midianites. I'm trying to imagine what that would be like. I've never lived in a country that was a puppet, that had been conquered by another country. Can only imagine what it would be to have no civil government, to have all the laws, all the authority, all the power in the hands of an enemy. Israel was a little nation. And the whole Old Testament seems to be one story after another of great nations rising up against them to try to destroy them. We don't read very much about where Israel decided they wanted to go take all the Philistines' land away from them. But it wasn't unusual for the Philistines to rise up and decide to destroy all the Israelites. And you look at what's going on in the world today, and it's still a little bit that way, isn't it? Different reasons for that. One of them may have been that Israel, at the time of its founding, was sort of at the crossroads of the world. And that'd be a handy place to dominate if you could do it, because you control trade going both ways up and down the coast of that sea where they are. But I have to think it was more than that. There's a conflict going on between the Savior of our souls and our enemy. And you and I are at the center of it. I think God put Israel at that juncture of the crossroads of the world to spread the story of what the Hebrew people were, what his law was. And in process of time, there were Jews in every city in the world, practically. And they had their synagogues and they had their teachings about the law. At any rate, Midian conquered Israel. And of course, they brought their religion with them. And they set up their groves and they set up their idols. And they set up their pagan worship system. And the Lord came and visited Gideon and said, "Get your servants in the night and go cut down the groves. Tear down the altars. You can get along pretty peaceably with the world until you start to cut down the groves and tear down the altars. And when you do that, that's when the war starts." And it doesn't mean that you go to people and literally argue with them about their religion. That's never very productive. But when a person has the Spirit of God in them, it's a powerful source of conviction to every other spirit. And people resent that. If they have determined to live a sinful life, they resent that. They can feel it. You don't have to say the words. There's just something there. Saints don't blend with the world. They never will. Jesus didn't blend with the world. If you and I live for the Lord, we won't blend with the world. We can be as gracious and kind to them as we like. We'll always be a persecuted people. So, Midianites were dominating Israel. The Lord spoke to Gideon. Gideon was afraid. That's where we got the story of the fleece. Gideon asked the Lord, "Are you sure this is what you want me to do?" And the Lord made it plain that he was. So he did what the Lord commanded, and of course it stirred up the Midianites. Israelites couldn't have been prepared for a battle. If we had an enemy country dominating the United States, The first thing he would do is take away all the guns and all the military training, because they don't want people to know how to contest them and what they intend to do. That's to try to stop you. And undoubtedly that happened in Israel. So they weren't prepared. It takes training to be able to fight together as a cohesive unit. But after the Midianites were stirred up like they were, and they're ready to kill all the Israelites, there wasn't anything left to do. So in my crude way of saying it, they told Gideon, well, you got us into this, you better lead us. Well, the Lord had something to do with that too. So they did, and they got their army together. They're prepared to go to battle. The Lord told Gideon, the people who are with you are too many. We need to separate them. So he first said, everybody who's afraid, you can go home. That might have got me. I don't want to be shooting at somebody at long range. I really don't want to get in a knife fight with them or sword fight. And that's the way they had to do it in those days. At any rate, most of the soldiers went home. 32,000 left. And the Lord said to Gideon, that's still too many. Take them down to the water and let them drink. And notice how they drink. Everybody who puts his face in the water, send him home. Everybody who puts the water in his hand and lift it up, he's the one that's fit to go. When they got done, 300 were left. There are questions. People have different ideas about why the Lord chose that means. I don't insist that mine is right about it, but I have my own ideas about it. Some have said that the 300 were watching for the enemy. But the Midianites were far away at that time. There was no threat of attack. My idea is that the command that Gideon gave them was unusual. It's not normal for before you go to the battle. I mean, you might sharpen your swords. You might practice your formations and get your trumpet calls right. But everybody go get a drink? The enemy's not near. So it wasn't maybe so much the Midianites they were watching. It was Gideon. Because he'd given an unusual command. So what's next? Because some people are alert for that. It's not so much that we're thirsty. We're doing something unusual. I'm ready for the next one that comes along. The Lord wants people who are ready to listen to the softest whisper of his voice. Because the plan that lay before these men depended on surprise. One person doing the wrong thing could have destroyed the whole idea. So he needed people who would follow discipline, but also were alert to what the signals were. Well, that's my idea about it. But let's take up the story when Gideon was on the verge of battle. As I say, it's in the 7th chapter of the book of Judges. In the 7th verse beginning, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lap will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man to his place. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, first invitation was to Gideon alone. Go down and listen. Go on a scouting mission. But if you're afraid, then take fear of thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. Well, Gideon was afraid, and he took his servant down there with him. And I can imagine that it would be a pretty serious situation. I think if we were one of the 300, we could use something to bolster our faith. It's an overwhelming force that they were facing. Thousands and thousands of Midianites pitched there in battle array, ready for the next day or so to bring the battle about. It'd be pretty overwhelming to think there's only 300 of us to face all of them. You'd want to know for sure that the Lord were with you if you undertook something like that. So the Lord knew that. And folks, the Lord knows where we are too. We have battles to fight in life. Faith is never a case of where the Lord calls you off to say, jump off the cliff, and he's given you nothing of any kind of preparation for it. He always gives us a basis, a reason, an understanding for the faith that we have. Sometimes it's a scripture, Have you ever had the Lord give you a scripture and you just knew then that you'd be able to stand on it? I can remember one time I had a revival meeting scheduled. I came down with the flu. My wife and I had prayer and the Lord gave me a scripture. And I got in my car and drove off sick. And the Lord healed me while I was going along. And I never have any symptoms of it when I got there. But I've had other times I had the flu and it ran its whole course. When the Lord gives you something, you can stand on it. If the Lord doesn't give you something, then you better pray about it until He does give you something. Then you can stand on it. This was a major battle. Perhaps the fate of the nation was at stake. The Lord had called Gideon to do something, but He gave him something to stand on. And he did it step by step. Go down and listen to the Midianites. If you're afraid, let your servant go with you. The Lord's considerate of what our needs are, folks. He knows when the load is heavy, when the situation is intimidating or threatening. He likes to give us all we need and a little bit more. And so he did with Gideon. And Gideon went down, took his servant with him that same night. Thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. You see, folks, God wants His people to act in a cooperative effort with Him. Everything we do in the Lord, there's a part for God to do and there's a part for us to do. He could have destroyed the Midianites all by Himself. In the end, He did destroy them. But it pleased Him to use Gideon and his faithful people with him to participate in this. And it's the same way with our salvation. It's a cooperative effort. There's a part for God to do, and there's a part for us to do. He'll do the heavy lifting. He didn't say to the apostles, you've all got to be crucified with me. He said, I'll be crucified. He said, you stay awake and pray. That's not too hard. I know you just had dinner, and I know you're sleepy, but stay awake and pray for one night. I'm going to bear the cross. You don't have to do that. Oh, folks, it's that way with everything we do for the Lord in our lives. He does the heavy lifting. He'll go with us. When we look back on our lives, at the end of them, we're going to find there are many times that the Lord carried the load, and we just had to wait on Him. So with Gideon, he went down and listened to what he heard in the tent. Midianites and Amalekites and all the children of the east, and a whole bunch of them, grasshoppers for a multitude. Gideon said to his men, behold, when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. This has got a lot in it. Please be patient with me, and I'll try not to be tedious. Can you imagine slipping down there in the dark? All the hosts of the east, thousands of them, hoping that nobody's camel even smells you. Because if one camel started to bray, it's liable to arouse the whole camp. And there's only two of you going down there. They're not going to be friendly to you. Slip up to the tent. How many tents does it take for that many people to get there at just the right tent, at just the right time? They could have been talking for hours about anything, but to get at the right tent at just the right time, and no camel smell you, and no other guard sense you, and get there and listen to the old black camel hair tent, whatever it was, to what's being said on the inside, and it just happens to be a conversation about a dream that a man had. And the dream, we can put it this way. God has different ways of dealing with His people. This kind of a dream is the lowest form that He has of working with folks. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Pharaoh had a dream. The two men who were in jail with Joseph, they had dreams. And they needed somebody even to interpret them. This is a pagan man. God knows how to deal with the pagans. Let me reinforce that this way. Jonah. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. That was an inner leading. That was the Spirit of the Lord. But Jonah disobeyed that. and went a different direction. God didn't stop dealing with him, but he didn't talk to him that way anymore. He dealt with him then with a storm and a whale. And he dealt with him with his men on the ship. And they threw him overboard. It's still God, but it's different. His misbehavior moved him a step below being able to hear God speak to him by his spirit. The Lord gives visions and he gives dreams, but this kind of a dream is his lowest form of dealing. He wants his people to be in a place where he can speak to us by the gentle leading of his spirit. Isn't that what he demonstrated in asking the 300 to keep their eyes, if you accept my interpretation of it, on Gideon? Because it's an unusual command. Folks, if we live for the Lord, we'll live highly unusual lives. We'll do many a thing that the world doesn't understand why we did. But when we get done, the Midianites will all be running. And we'll have the blessing of the Lord upon our souls. So he went down there. And he heard the man tell a dream. And the dream was a loaf of barley bread came rolling down the hill and knocked down the tent. Isn't that something? If he'd have said, we're down here in the valley and there was an avalanche, we could understand that. If you were going to choose a weapon to defeat an army, would you choose a loaf of barley bread? Why would even someone think of such a thing? But the barley bread came rolling down the hill, hit the tent, and knocked it down. And the other man said to him, this is nothing else than the sword of Gideon and of God. They better read that again and get it right. This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. So Gideon went home and told the men that were with him about that. And he returned to the host and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. If you got your Bible open and looking at it, you'll see that the word God that was used here to describe what the pagan man said is a different word than the word that Gideon used when he got back. That word God, it means the greater power. Somebody eternal. Somebody superior to what we have. That's what the Midianite man said. But when Gideon got back to his people, he said the Lord. And that word Lord is in all capital letters. And what that means is Yah. It means the great Jehovah. It literally means the God of the covenant. And folks, that's the one I want to face the enemy with. The God of the covenant. When Gideon got back, he didn't use just an abstract term. He used the one that meant something to these 300 fellows. This is who your covenant is with. This is why we're the people we are. This is why we're facing the kind of conflict that we are. Because somebody called our forefathers and gave them a law and a belief system. Because he led them out of Egypt. Because he established us in our land. Because he gave us commandments whereby we could offer sacrifices and be forgiven of our sins. Then he made promises to us and put his hand over us. Now in the name of this God, we're called to face this battle. And the enemy has already testified that they understand that there is a higher power. That Midianite couldn't use this word. He wouldn't have known what it meant. But he had some understanding of it. You know, one of the things about battle is you never know how close the enemy is to giving up. God has a way that you and I won't always feel of putting a dread over enemies. I think there was a dread that fell on the whole Midianite camp. The things that happened after this show that something was going on with them. 300 were separated out, and that very same night, Gideon went down, heard the message, got his 300 together, and gave them their instructions, and there was a dread resting on the whole camp. It wasn't just this one man who interpreted the dream, no doubt. It was a whole group of them. They could feel something going on. A loaf of bread's coming after us. We're going to be in trouble. So Gideon got them together, and he inspired them. I know they needed some faith, too. Well, folks, let me tell you a bit about faith. There are things we can do to bolster one another's faith. We can be an encouragement to one another, but we can't give faith to one another. It takes God working underneath. It takes Him preparing the steps, step by step. When He has done that for us, you and I can do the things with our brethren that set that on fire and lift them up to heights where they haven't been before. You know how we do it? Just about as dramatic as this was. We come to meeting and we sing Holy Ghost songs. Have you ever had one of those just stir you up? Have you ever had one of those midweek experiences? Got chewed out by the boss in the daytime and come out to meeting at night and somebody give up and give a testimony that satisfies your spirit and you find you got the courage and the strength to go on another week. We need one another. And yet we can't give faith to one another. The Lord set this up step by step. These men could respond to this because it was what they already understood and believed in. And so Gideon gave their instructions. Arise, he said, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies and put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. Now blow with a trumpet. We'll all blow together. Take a lamp, put it under the vessel, have it lit. Blow with a trumpet. And break the vessel and let the light show. Nobody carried a sword. You don't even have a record here that anybody carried a sword. I'll tell you something amazing. We don't have a record that the Lord told Gideon to do this. He told him he delivered the Midianite host into his hand. But where did Gideon get this idea? Did you know the Lord has a way of putting things in your mind and mine? When we live in a cooperative effort with the Lord, He has a way of guiding us. You can almost think it's your own thinking. But you turn from that and start living a life of sin, it'll amaze you how fast it'll get away from you. It's not that way anymore. The Lord has a subtle way of leading His people. He truly is our King. He is our judge. He is our lawgiver. And so He sent out this little 300-man army around on the hills in the night, all the way around the Midianites, down in the valley below. And Gideon, I think he could have lost the battle still at this point. I think he could have. If he'd have told the men, when we get out there, you shout the sword of Gideon. And he hadn't said anything about the Lord. The Lord's already given us the battle. I'm going to get some glory out of this. God won't bless that. He could have lost the battle. He said the sword. He could have said the sword of Gideon and the Lord. He didn't even do that. Oh, folks, salvation belongs to humble people. We got a part in it. He didn't say just the sword of the Lord. He said the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. We've got a part in it. But the Lord's a big brother, isn't He? That satisfies me pretty well. When I'm facing thousands of Midianites, I'd rather He was in the lead. I'm willing to be there. I don't want them calling my name first. So Gideon did it that way. And the folks went out, and when the lights started flashing, the trumpets started blaring, and the vessels were broken, Midianites come rushing out of the tents. They're already afraid because the Lord's dealt with them, and it looked like every one of these men was a leader of 1,000. They thought they were surrounded by 300,000. They're on every hill, in every direction, don't know which way to go. They started running in the dark. And when they hear footsteps coming up behind them, well, they turn around and kill him. And then they ran into somebody in front of them. They thought that must be Israelites too. And they killed them and they killed one another. And we don't read where the Israelites killed any of them. They killed one another, and what was left ran back to their own country. And there's a parable in that. And in everything the Lord does, there's a parable. It's amazing the way He deals with us. There's... Look what He gave them. A vessel and a lamp and a trumpet. And what have we got to fight with today? A vessel. The songwriter said, I'm only an earthen vessel. We don't need to be swords to defeat this world. The Lord doesn't want us to go forth to fight this world with our wisdom, with our legal skill, with all of those understandings. We need the sword of the Lord. It's greater than any sword that I'd ever put in my hand. You remember what the prophet said when that old heathen king came out against him another time? He was up on the top of the mountain, his servants there with him, terrified, look at all the chariots. And he said, more with us than there are with them. No, prophet, you haven't even, all you've got is this stick you've been carrying around. How are you going to fight all that number? Lord, open their eyes, and the whole side of the mountain is full of horsemen and chariots, the angels of the Lord. Same ones he got a vision of when Elijah left him. That's what he talked about. That, behold, the angels of the chariots of the Lord and the horsemen thereof. God's got something greater than all that's going on in this world, folks. I think we need this message today. Our world's getting dark. There's a lot of challenges coming on the land, and we don't know how it's all going to turn out. And sometimes we feel like everything we understand about right and wrong is being turned upside down by our society around us. That's not new. It's been there before. Be faithful. Be faithful, because in the end, the sword of the Lord is greater than all of that. But he's not interested so much in killing everybody. That's not the point. He wants us to be a light. He wants us to be a vessel with a light in it. He wants us to have a trumpet to send a call. If you want to get saved, there's still a way. We're not an avalanche. We're a piece of bread. That's what the Lord broke and he gave to people there at the Last Supper. Is a piece of bread. And he said, take this blood, this wine, and drink this. It's a symbol of my blood and my body. We don't have to fight this world with carnal weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not so. They're mighty through God. The pulling down of strongholds. Their love and peace and joy and faithfulness. There are a belief anchored in the God of our fathers, in the God of our salvation, set on the platform he's put before us, which he has done. Bringing terror to the enemy. Winning a victory not by our skill, by our numbers. Winning a victory because the Lord went before us and made it so. He made it so. This is a life of faith. But folks, if we'll live this, in the end, we'll see the victory. It's beautiful. Trumpets and lamps, they waken the sleeper. That's where these people were. There's a whole world around us that's asleep. And they need to be awakened. Start with the faith. Come with a battle cry. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Victory follows behind it. The three go together. If we'll be faithful, the Lord will be with us, just like he was with those folks. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention this morning. Amen.